wife was speaking of time. And something occurred to me this week. I mean, you know, in the week, 7 days, we have 24 hours each day. We have 168 hours. 168 hours equates to 10,080 minutes in the week. 10,080. So would it be too much of us to set aside 30 of those minutes this morning to Him?
Amen.
Without thoughts of family, food, this afternoon, our phones, whatever. 30 minutes dedicated to Him. Is He worthy? He is worthy of that and more.
Yeah.
Out of 10,080, our worship will be about 30 minutes. So I think it would behoove us to give Him our undivided attention and worship and praise during those 30 minutes. I'm probably more guilty than anyone in not, you know, that's 10,080 minutes out of the week. How many of those minutes do we dedicate to Him? So, anyway, something to think about. We are doing some decrees, have been doing some decrees over the nation, the church in America, the United States, and I am going to read the first six. Mary will read the other six. And this is being done by a lot of different people around the United States and different churches. Because this country needs help. The church needs help. We need His help. Our country needs His help. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, I decree that the United States is turning to God, embracing the truth of His word and lawfulness, respecting authority. In Jesus' name, I declare that the active, holy and powerful conviction of the Holy Spirit is visiting every individual in the United States, drawing souls into true encounters with Christ.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I decree that all who serve the United States in government positions are visited by the righteousness, truth, and justice of God, and that they live in the fullness of Christ's wisdom in all they do. I decree that any corruption in government will be exposed and dealt with in wisdom and righteousness in order for the nation to be cleansed. In Jesus' name, I decree that the education leaders, systems, and institutions in the United States are being filled with kingdom values, wisdom, conviction, and truth. Sorry, I've seen some more. I've seen bits out there. In Jesus' name, I decree that the body of Christ in the United States is actively walking with and serving the Lord with fullness of focus, sincerity of faith, and in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Jesus' name, I decree that those who live in the United States are kept in good health and are offered excellent health services and care. I decree that all will live in the health and strength of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Number 7, in Jesus' name, I decree that the media in the United States communicates godly morals, values, and truths, and that the gospel is favored in the media. Amen, everybody?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. About the media. We've been praying for the media. Number 8. In Jesus' name, I decree that every godly business and enterprise flourishes in the United States, and every corrupt business and enterprise is exposed and fails. I decree prosperity and fruitfulness in my nation as a result of godliness, in order for every individual to have their needs. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 9, in Jesus' name, I decree that marriages and families in the United States are blessed with love, with joy, and peace, and that every home is filled with the goodness of God. Now, I don't know about you. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, families are under attack, and I think it's powerful that we can pray for families. I just noticed the families that came in here, welcome. And you know what? I think that homes should be filled with love. I had my daughter here, our daughter here, and her friend and their kids, and we just had a great time with them. And I'm telling you, we need to do a lot of family time stuff. I value that, and I hope you value it as well. Decree number 10. In Jesus' name, I decree that the body of Christ is mobilized into the harvest field. I think we need to get out there. I think we need to reach people. I think we need to tell them the good news, and that the good news is about Jesus. And I declare fruitfulness all over the United States of America.
Amen.
Amen. And number 11, in Jesus' name, I decree that righteousness thrives in my nation. In every realm of life, that lawlessness and corruption has no place. I decree that. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
These babies have a right. These kids have a right. Parents have a right too. But I'm saying kids are valued. And that's what we have to decree, even the ones that are in the womb. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 12. In Jesus' name, I decree that love is the greatest aim of all Americans. And mutual love, honor, and respect is shown to all people. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is Lord over this nation of the United States.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, Father, those decrees, we know according to your word, we decree a thing, we declare a thing, it shall come to pass. That's your word, Father God, and we are thankful for it.
Amen.
So, Father, we bring this service before you, Lord God, and you are worthy. You
yes,
are
Lord.
Worthy and deserving all our praise and honoring glory, Lord. We just ask you, Holy Spirit, to inundate this sanctuary and let every one of us not leave here the way we come in, but filled up more with you, Holy Spirit. So, Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for our salvation. And we thank you for the opportunity to come here in freedom to lift up the name of Jesus, to worship the name of Jesus. We are so thankful for that. In his holy name I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, praise God. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to Psalms 38. And this is a time our country really needs to be having prayer. And I was in prayer about our nation and what's going on in the past. I felt the Lord's heart. I felt it was sad and it was broken. And I just feel God wants his people to rise up and pray for our nation. Because Jesus came to set all men free. And sometimes when we're in the time of trouble and we go into our secret place to pray, he'll speak to us about the good things and the bad things and tell us what's right and what's wrong. And he's such a good God. He's a good, good God.
Amen.
And as I was praying about some of the things of our nation, he gave me Psalms 38. Prayer in time of chastening. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sign is not hidden from you. My heart pants and strengthens, and my heart pants and my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. And those who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction, and the plan deception all the day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear. And I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus I am like a man who does not hear, and in those mouths is no response. For in you, O Lord, I hope.
Amen.
You will hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me. Thus when my foot slips, they exalt themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. And I will declare of my iniquity, and I will be in anguish over my sin. For my enemies are vigorous, and they are strong. And those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries, because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, do not be far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation.
For those who are new here, my name is Pastor Marie O'Leary, and that's my husband, Pastor Joe, over there. My better half, I'd say. But anyways, we are really, really happy everybody's here. And we have been doing a series on Nehemiah, and we're going to do chapter 3 today. But I want to review in the book of Nehemiah a couple things. Number one, in the first book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, Nehemiah talked about prayer. He talked about being in prayer and also fasting. We need to do the same thing. So there's a lesson for us to be in prayer. The second thing that we learned in Nehemiah was that God was our protector. I don't know about you guys, but I'm very thankful about that. And he is our provision. And it just doesn't have to be monetary provision. He provides for us. I always tell this to my own children, that God is so great that I really believe that as times are getting harder and harder and harder, he will take care of us if we seek his face. And in the other thing that we learn too is that he grants many, many requests.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you guys going?
Yes,
well, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you for your hospitality.
Oh, you're welcome. I know it's hard with little ones. Thank you, Lord. But I want to talk about Nehemiah 3. And Nehemiah 3 is very important. And in Nehemiah 3, what I think the Lord is trying to tell us is something important for us. So we've learned prayer and supplication. We also know he's our provider and protection. And right now we are learning something is going on because Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king. And Nehemiah is wanting to do more than that. He is wanting to do quite a few things. So when I first read chapter 3, I said, Lord, you gotta be kidding me. It was just name after name after name. And it says in chapter 3 that Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brother and the priest, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it, and they hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred and concentrated it, then as far as the Tower of Hananel. And I thought, Lord, so many names, so many gates, so many. Wow, I know he wanted to build the gates, but I'm just reading all these names, and number one, I couldn't read half of them. And number two, I thought, what was the importance of that? And next to Elisha, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Sacher, the son of Imri, built. At verse 3, also the sons of Hazanah built the fish gate. They laid it in the beams, and they hung its doors with its bolts and its bars. Verse 4, and next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Koz, made repairs. And next to them, and it goes on and on and on to all these people. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to say to the people that are listening? What do you want me to say to the people? And what the Lord said was this. He said, everyone's important. Everybody's important. Every position is important. And everybody has a job to do, but it's all obedience. It's what you're going to do when you're told to do something. And so I thought, wow, Lord. And to my amazement, my daughter sent me a picture on Messenger of all the different gates. Now, if you were to go to Israel today, you would see these gates. You enter into these different gates, and many of them exist. Some of them have different names, but they do exist. So, truthfully, there's an order to the gates, just like there's an order to the church. There's an order to the service. And there are prophetic strategies. You can do what you want to do. You can act the way you want to act, but God has very specific things for us to do. And one of the things, excuse me, that I was so amazed at was last night when Joe and I were listening to some different channels on YouTube. There were different preachers that was talking about salt and light. All of us want to be the light. All of us want to minister. All of us want to do this, want to do that. But what is so important is that he's cleaning up the church. And he's been cleaning up the church. And this minister or prophet from the Lord made a comment, and his comment was this. He said that first comes the salt. And the salt is bitter. A salt is cleansing. Just like if you go swim in the ocean and stuff, it's beautiful like Lake Michigan where we are, but it's a salty water. And so if you have any sores, it burns. And so what this minister talked about was this, and I think it's so important to hear this, is that we are to have the salt poured upon us to take away our bitterness, to take away the wounds that we have, to take away different things that are going on in our own particular life. And then when the Lord can heal that up, when he can heal us with that healing balm, what happens is then we can be the light out there. And I just thought that that was so important, and this really hit my spirit, and I wanted to share that with you. I don't even know where the guy was at. I don't even know his name or anything like that. It was just very, very powerful how he was talking about that we have to be so full of the Lord. We have to know who he is. The other thing that I put down here in my notes is this. When Nehemiah, if you remember in chapter 2, when he was so saddened what had happened, you know, to the walls, and he wanted to rebuild the walls, he went to the king, and the king recognized him. You know, he was a cupbearer, but he had this sad look on his face. And the sad look on his face, the king goes, what's wrong with you? You know, I notice things like that when people aren't happy or whatever. And the Lord says, what can, you know, that it's a kind of a parallel of the Lord. Like, what can I do for you? The king said, what do you want? And so he ended up getting special papers that had the ring that was put into it. I call it a seal. He also had these different letters so that when he took them and he went into foreign lands, it was like protection for him. But also in chapter 2, it was provision because he could go to different territories, different regions, and he could get the supplies that he needed to build the walls. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this is powerful to me. That chapter 2 was so powerful because what the Lord keeps on telling Joe and I to keep on moving, to keep on going. You know, we're waiting for this, we're waiting for that, but you can only wait so long. And so what the Lord is saying is that there's someone there that can provide for you. Just like when I'm going down to Saginaw this weekend to give the word, a lady opened up her house for us to stay in. I never asked her that. She's just opening it up, and I pray that blessings will come, favor will come on her, because it costs a lot of money, you know, to stay in places when you have to speak. So what I'm saying is that God was the provider, even for me this week. Are you with me? So in this chapter 3, God sometimes hides things in the Word because he wants us to dig it up. So when I saw chapter 3, I just read it the best I could and left it at that. And the Holy Spirit, I really felt, said something to me like, there's so much more than these names. So I went back and I looked at them again and I thought, well, that's all I see. Our names. More to it than that. Because what I saw, the more I studied it, it was a united effort to build the wall. And it was people who the Lord valued. So you had people that, if I can say it this way, people that were not so well off, and people that were well off, because it talks about priests, and it talks about rulers, and it talks about governors back in that time, a lot more than how we look at governors. And they all worked together on the wall. And you know what was really kind of cool is when they were working on the wall, it was like where I'm standing right here, you know, if Karen was standing right here, it was like we were working together. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't this a message for the churches today? First of all, he's cleaning house. Second of all, he's telling you to wake up. He's telling you to arise. He's telling you by the Spirit of God to know the times and what is going on. And I could just reach over to Karen and go, nice job, Karen, nice job, Karen. And she might go, oh, well, thank you. But you see, there's so much more than just giving affirmation. There's so much more than, you know, you have to be willing, you know, to get in the trenches. You got to be willing to do what the Lord has for us to do. I think this was so powerful. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit placed on my heart, until you're ready, until all these people were willing to dig in, nothing's changing. Huh. I said, well, Lord, isn't that the same way here at Hilltop? Until everybody is willing to dig in, nothing's going to change. Well, this is what I want to do, and this is what I want to make, and this is, who told you? That was you. It is so strategic, excuse me, what God wants to do here, even in this church and other churches. But we have to be willing to be obedient. And on the surface of this chapter, like I said, it discusses different gates of Jerusalem. And it also mentions specific builders that helped to rebuild them. The more I read it, the more I saw like a welder, if I can use that as an example. I think they gave him a different title. Well, you know, he stopped his welding or his metal making, and he joined, got his hands dirty, and built the wall. Can you hear me? Can you hear from the Spirit this morning? When we look a little deeper, we find that God has hidden within those gates spiritual truths for both an individual and corporate Christian life, as well as his prophetic plan for the future. Isn't that not powerful?
Can you say that statement one more?
These gates have hidden spiritual truths for individual and corporate life, which is doing life, as well as his prophetic plan for not just now, but for the future. Hallelujah. The order and the position of each gate is specific if you take time and read it. So as I took time, and then my daughter sent me that diagram, I can look to the location where that gate was at. And it also gives insight into the journey that God is taking all of us, where we are going, where His children are to go. And you know what? Sometimes when we're doing the Christian journey, it's not always so easy. Vicki, I think one of those ladies came back. And as a whole, it tells us about Christ's return. I'm concerned that people are asleep right now, not realizing what a critical time that we're in. So gates are walled. Cities are vulnerable. So what does that mean for us today? Well, we're talking about gates. We're talking about gates over certain areas. What is happening at our gate? What is happening in the White House? There are different gates that we need to look at because gates are strategic. And what happens is that we're to keep them in good repair at all times. Now, if I may, that is just so important, because if we don't have a strategic plan and we don't understand how these gates are to be repaired, then we're just kind of going around in a circle. Gates are strategic, number one. Number two, gates are for protection of the people. And in the Bible times, it protected the people that would come in. Just like if you and I were to go through these entranceways today in Israel, there are some gates as Christians you and I can't go in. We can't go in them. I don't care if you think you've got your act together or whatever, you're just not allowed in. So gates are important. And no one could exclude themselves from participating in the work because they thought they were too holy, too privileged, and that they had more whatever than anybody else. Did you hear that? If the high priests were involved, which they were, then everybody should be involved. I don't mind. If you want to start a certain ministry, as long as we prayed about it, you've shown me a vision and a goal and how you're going to go about it. But if it's not from the Lord, it ain't going to happen. So what I'm trying to say to you is that there's still someone that's in charge of all the work that has to be done. So the high priests were involved, and I really believe that there is so much. So what does that say to us today? If we think within this church here, there are jobs to be done. And I know Joe and I can't do them. I know Karen brings things in. I know everybody has to do something other than Sunday morning. Kitchen floor, sweeping the church, carpet. When my daughter was here, when she was here at the church, she got out the sweeper and she swept every area, every room in this place. We all have to do certain jobs. That's what Nehemiah 3 talks about. But this is a story about four people named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. We all had important jobs, and so did they. Everybody had to get busy. Get moving. In today's talk to you, I want to give you hope. Sometimes it just seems like the storm, everything's coming at you. You know, people come, people go. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Because it's all about reformation. It's about what can be done within these church walls and then move out. Nehemiah highlights the special work done and around every gate in Jerusalem. And I wrote down here that there were many gates around the walls of Jerusalem. In today's reading, we hear about rebuilding two of the gates. Nehemiah inspired the work, bringing hope and vision. If you don't have our vision with what the Lord wants us to do right here, then why are you here? You have to be able to understand the vision in order for the mission to go forth. And there are many things in that chapter 3, many things that we can observe that deals with leadership today. Well, I'm going to do my own thing. This is what I want to do. Blah, blah, blah. Whoa. I don't think so. That's why some people don't want to stay here. Because you still have to come under authority. You still have to be obedient to what God wants you to do. And if I really see something that's not right, I'm sorry, I guess I'm the dirty person, the dirty dog, the dirty whatever, but I usually, in love, will tell you I don't like it. I don't like that. I don't agree with that. And that's my position. And also, what he was looking at was, is it going to take forever? Is it going to take forever for something to change? The first gate mentioned was the sheep gate, Nehemiah 3, 1 through 3. When Eliashib, the high priest, arose with his brothers, the priests, and built the sheep gate, they consecrated it and hung its doors. If no one was to walk in this church has been consecrated by God. We had people pray, it was anointed, there was a purpose of it, just like the land. There are many that will come against it, many that don't like it, many of them that want their way, feel this, feel that. But the important thing is that it was consecrated, doors were hung, walls were taken down in this church, and walls were built in Nehemiah's time. And next to him, the men of Jericho built the next to them. His name was Sakur, and he was the son of Imri, and that is Nehemiah 3:1-2. Nothing was too holy for the priests. I feel, Joe and I come alongside of you, we still have a job to do. That's our position with what we're doing. But what I'm trying to say to you is that nobody was too good to get their hands dirty. And as they worked hard, the people took courage. Just like when we had the family that walked in here, you know, they were excited and everything, but it's a long service and nothing for the kids to do. They can have their little clipboards. You know, we really need someone. If this church is going to grow, we need to hire someone that's going to take care of the kids and do Bible lessons with them. If the priests got their hands dirty on this project, and this included the high priest such as Eliashib, then everyone should see the greater reason for why they should join the work. Join the work. Why? Towers and walls are difficult to build, but when the priests finish, the work remained as a permanent symbol that leaders do their best to work with their servants. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A pastor has a specialized function in the church, overseeing the flock, and there are even evangelists. I really feel I'm more of an evangelist. I like getting out there. I like talking. I like telling the Lord this and that and what he wants me to do and where to go, blah, blah, blah. I really believe my husband has a pastor's heart. His heart is better than mine. He loves the people, but this is what the Lord is doing right now. But Joe and I can't do everything ourselves, and one of the things I want to thank this church here, the staff people that have stood beside us, Vicki comes every day and on time to run that sound, do that podcast. Karen's here to help me with the music. I mean, truthfully, you guys, some of you go beyond the call of duty, and I thank you for that. And it's not written down just in our book, it's written down in the Lord's book. So I want you to hear that from Joe and myself. We appreciate that. If we were to summon the people for different prayer things that were going on, there would be no problem with that. I'd just get on the phone and call you today, you know, hey, you got messenger and some way you're going to reach someone. And really, you need to get over your emotional stuff. What I mean by that is you cannot pray and you cannot react out of emotion. You have to give that to the Lord. So maybe someone hurt you, or I don't know, I've heard all kinds of things. But it's kind of like what I heard Rodney Brown say. I thought it was powerful. I'm sure that Nehemiah tipped quite a few of them off. But at least they did their job. They were trustworthy. They were on time together. They all worked together. And one of the things I heard Rodney Brown say, I think it was him or some guy that was there, he said, you know, you can do this. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, I'm so happy about that. And he pleased him. And the next day, they're ticked off about something. And then the next day, you do something that pleases them. And the next day, they're ticked off. Welcome to leadership. You really can't please anybody. And truthfully, I give you this as from the Holy Spirit this morning. Keep your eyes on Him. You're working for the Lord. You're doing things for Him. You're here for Him. Yeah, don't even try pleasing me because I'm up, down, up, down. Joe's up, down, up, down. You're to please the King. I love that. Please the King. Lord, what pleases you? For a while, the apostles were doing all the work, but it was not good in the long run. Change had to come. Change. People don't like change. I don't like change. I like everything just the way it is. And, you know, change is important because that's the only way you can grow.
Amen.
So Nehemiah planned and he inspired the work to be started. And then he stepped back and he said, okay, people do it. Did you hear that? He became the foreman. He encouraged. He did his part. He said what the Lord wanted, now do it. It's kind of like I told Joe, whether it sounded selfish or not, it's like we have prayer on Tuesdays, lead it. I don't need another job. I don't need another assignment. I don't need this. I don't need that. If I don't hear from the Lord, I'm not doing it. Please hear me. Now back to the reading. We hear about two other building teams going westward around Jerusalem, starting from the Sheep Gate way up in the north, and the men of Jericho built. They were like right next to the priests. And next to them was Sakur, the son of Imri. I read that. And at this point, we run into another entrance to the city of Jerusalem, the Fish Gate. We are to be fishers of men. That's powerful. I was listening to a preacher, I don't know his name, and he said Jesus told the disciples to put their net over on the right, and they drew in tons and tons of fish. But it wasn't the nets. Fishermen have nets on the right and nets on the left. It was the net on the right. And it got so full of fish, it was very difficult to pull it in. And Jesus, he's just sitting on the shore at the fight. Waiting for them to bring the fish in. Waiting for them, you know, to do whatever they did. And to eat the fish. And it said Jesus made the bread. You see, that's powerful just like this. Nehemiah gave the strategies of the Lord and then sat back and everybody did the work. Isn't that good? Oh, I like that. And then next to Meremoth, the son of Uriah, was the son of Hacox, which many of us won't ever remember, and they made repairs. And next to him, Meshulam and the son of Berechiah and the son of Nesel Sable, they made repairs. And next to him, Sadak, the son of Bana, also made repairs. And moreover, next to him was Teokites, made repairs, but their nobles did not support the work of their masters.
Whoa.
Where is that? Nehemiah 3:3-5. The fish gate was built by Hazanah's family. There's nothing like family. Whether it's your biological family or your church family, what you can do if you work in unity and a team and you have the strategies from the Lord is unbelievable. So they laid his beams and they hung the doors. And after that, they set the bolts and bars. I read so much about bolts and bars into place. Replacing doors in some way is much more difficult than making a wall. Now let me tell you this from Qumrians. I remember when Joe and our son Sean built the walls, put up the walls in the fellowship area. They allowed me to use the, whatever that thing was, and to put in the, I don't know if it was nails or screws, into the boards, and I gave it all that I did, and my son said, Mom, please, I think you need to find something else to do. Because he was trying to be polite, but I drove them into that. I drove them into that wall with everything I had.
Drywall,
thank you, Joe. And it was like almost making a hole in where every one of those nails or screws went, and it was like they had to start all over again. Now, I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm really trying to get your attention that I thought I could build that wall. I couldn't have built that wall for nothing. So it was a team effort. It was Joe, Sean, and myself. Then when it came to hanging these doors, none of this existed here. I'd see them use these little shims. I'd say, shims. I remember the song, shim, shimmy, shim, shimmy, shim, shim. Jubbles, just give me a shim. Shim, shimmy, shim, shimmy, shim. No, just give me that little piece of board that's sitting over there on the floor. Just give me that. But to me, it was shim, shimmy, shim, you know, like a song. And I know that Joe was frustrated. Dear gosh, we have to hang this door. So to watch building, doing the drywall stuff, and then seeing the door build, putting these shims in and getting these bolts just right, or I don't know, hinges, I guess, and then putting the bolts inside of it and stuff. Oh my gosh, I was just in a panic. I mean, truthfully, I think they would have been happy if I didn't do nothing. Because I really just made it more, but it had to just fit because the doors had to swing together just so, are you with me? Or they wouldn't lock, or they wouldn't come together. And I just thought, I didn't think it was a big deal, but it was a big deal. And the word of God says it was a big deal. He said the doors were harder. And these were doors much taller than the doors we have in our home. I don't think it's real specific how many men had to hold that door, but it still took teamwork, and it still took people working together and knowing what they were doing. I mean, you know, I can hold the door, big deal. If I had my way, it helps with the sound, but I probably would have never got the doors done if it wasn't for children. Truth. Mom. In any case, we do see the family in this chapter 3 making contributions. I made a contribution. I had to pep myself up and say, good job, Marie, you trucked. I mean, don't we have to do that? But Nehemiah did cast the vision. And people from all over came to help with the specific in naming them in chapter 3. But let's look at verse 5 for a moment. It says, moreover, next to him was the Keoites, who made repairs, but their nobles did not support the work of the master. Did this mean that certain rich and influential men did not have to financially support the work? Or were just unwilling to help? Or, I don't know. But I really believe it was both. I think it's both. If we didn't really pay or give our tithes and our offering to the Lord, He knows. He knows what we're giving. He knows what we're doing. It's not a secretive type of thing. And on top of it, it says that the masters just thought that they were too good to help out. Is it possible that these nobles referred to certain politicians? In any case, they had the money. They weren't going to get involved. It doesn't say why, but likely they had connections with other people. Nevertheless, the Tekoites didn't allow this to deter them, and they continued working. Hint, hint. There might be some real big mega churches out there, business people that, hey, we would gladly like them to tithe, help us, give an offering. But you know, that can't stop the work that the Lord wants us to do. Because I heard Jesse Duplantis say something I will never forget. He said, you have to get moving. You got to start it. And then things can happen. Money can come in. We still played for the 10th revivals, but it was truly a miracle. I mean, truthfully a miracle. And when our administrator was, Diane was here, she would say to me, this doesn't figure out yet. How can you take in this amount of money and yet everything can get paid for? You see, sometimes what we see with our physical eyes doesn't make any sense at all to the spiritual kingdom. So these walls were taken care of and provision was made. Without the support of the noble people of society, the truly faithful will continue until it's completed. This reminds me of us that we do not have to wait for people to help us before we get home. Our hearts should be on a specific task. And that's souls for the kingdom. My main goal is to disciple you and nothing else. To help you become disciples for the kingdom. Get out there. And truthfully, we might think that things can be done without someone's help, but I know that God can stir someone. God can move upon someone to help. I remember I was $1,000 short. That's a lot of money to me, but $1,000 short, and this man came and contributed $1,000 to our 10th revival, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. I know a man, I know nothing about him. We had another person, won't mention who they are, and they were in prayer, intercessory prayer, and the Lord told them to give, I don't remember, it was something like $385, $400, $450 to this church, mailed a check to this church, deposited it. I was blown away and I said, oh, I wrote every one of them a personal thank you. It wasn't just a thank you that went on Facebook or something like this. I wrote every person that contributed something a personal letter. Thank you. Well, why did you send, you know, like, I'm just going to use it as an example, $385, and that's exactly what I needed. You see, God knows ahead of time, and He can talk to people to give something to help out. We have a lot to do here. So people that are listening on Facebook right now, Facebook Live, or we could use your money. Even if it was a penny, it would help. We must be the men of Ishkar. Mentioned in Chronicles. You have to know what is going on right now. You need to be aware of that. I feel accountable for that and have taught you as well as Joe the best that we know how. You have to know the times. Get prepared. start putting things away, trusting in God and not having any fear. The sons of Ishkar were men who understood the times with knowledge, but they knew what to do. You can have so much knowledge of this and that, but you have to know what to do with your brain power. Come on. That's 1 Chronicles 12:28. Give me about 5-10 more minutes. Believers need to get together to accomplish something that pleases God. I agree with evangelist, how do you say his name, Joe Morello? Murillo. He said, shame on you churches that are still closed. This is time to arise. This is the time to reach out to people. This evangelist was so powerful that Joe and I listened to last night. He talked so much about what we can do as a church. But some are never going to open the doors again. Some of the mega churches are not opening again. If you were downstate, you should be praying for the kids in the schools right now. Downstate, they already started school. You guys up here start September 8th. It's not about your little world. It's about what's happening all over. Down near the Detroit area, they had an earthquake. Thank God it was small.
Earthquake?
Who would ever think an earthquake would happen in Michigan? You ought to know the fault lines. You ought to ask God what you're to pray about. Nehemiah had to know how to secure this wall, and he got all the strategies from the Lord. But you know what? Hey, you just ain't going to pull them out, like some puppet. Oh, I'm going to try this strategy and that strategy. He's very, very specific. And the walls and the spacing of the walls. And that cornerstone, who's that? Jesus. We all know that. Every person that's sitting in here today knows that Jesus is the cornerstone. And it was so amazing. My beautiful, brilliant daughter, she said to me, I was talking to her about the plumb line. She goes, Mom, what is that? You see, if you don't put down a plumb line, you don't put down like a string coming down, it'll fall flat. And that's where you begin at, because that is the cornerstone. That's the place to begin at. That's to keep things in alignment. That's to keep things straight, or otherwise you're always off when you're building. Always off. So Nehemiah learned back in this time to talk to these people about how to build these walls and the spacing that they had to have. The work done was a reflection on the family. That's the second thing he said. Almost everyone mentioned is referred to as the son of someone. The son and the daughter of someone. Value. It's in the family of our children. Learn to work. And parents must be committed to teaching their children to be hard workers. How long are you going to be on food stamps? How long are you going to feel that you should have all these free things? But what happens when it's cut off? How do you get a job? You're 60-some years old. How do you go about when they're hiring younger people because you're getting older? You need to have a strategy and a plan, and do not think that if socialism takes off, which is a form of Marxism, you're not going to have nothing. Government's going to take over everything, be in control of everything. Yeah, but I got lots of time. Do you? It's in the family of our children to learn how to be a good worker. To work 12 hours. Oh my gosh, my kid worked 12 hours. Well, good for them. They got their hands dirty. They had to work. It's what it's about. But to do it strategically. You see, many kids that are in crisis, is because of the family breakdown. Because the family has always been in crisis. Because they don't know how to get out of crisis. They haven't even tried to pray. They haven't come before the Lord. But it says in the Word of God and in this chapter 3 that every family worked together and got something done. It's a reflection of the spiritual family. Your kids are, when they're young, you draw them to church. You bring them to church. When they get a certain age, they make their own choice. And all that you can do is pray. 3, there's evidence of Nehemiah's leadership because he was an effective leader and he was accountable. I am so tired of people not being accountable for their work. Sad. Well, you know, if they just would have done this and they would have done that. We're still to be there. You're not the boss. You're not the person who's running the store, the restaurant, the school. You're the worker. Do your part. Do what you're supposed to do. Well, I think they should do this. This is my opinion. Well, according to Jeremiah 3, you're under their authority. You're working for them. And if you're in a rental house, your house should look the best it should be as a Christian. Your yard should be picked up. Your house should be picked up. Everything should be in order, whether you want to do it or not, because you're a reflection of Jesus Christ. I don't care if you have really good china, and I don't care if you have all these fancy things, but I care what you're doing with the things that God has given to you. Be responsible. We can also see that Nehemiah was a gifted leader in praying and bringing about unity. People have to be in unity to get things done. They have to own the vision. And every Christian should have a vision of what the Lord wants them to do and stand. Don't, oh, this happened to me, and I guess I'm not supposed to do that. Who said that? If God gave you a vision, it's going to take place. Might not be your timing, not be the way that you want things done, but he's in charge and he will take care of it.
Hallelujah.
Stand. When we work together, we should care for each other and not this, well, I'm so sorry about that you feel like that. I'll pray about it. That's it, plain. Never hear from him again. When someone asks you something, you better be praying because you're going to be accountable. A good impression, a good meeting. I'm not here for you to say, oh, Marie, I just love you, and pat me on the back. I'm here to do the Lord's work. So what can we learn from this chapter 3? It wasn't just names. It wasn't just jobs. It was each one of them fitting in somewhere. Where do you fit? What are you supposed to do? Well, you know, I have talents to sing. Then why aren't you up here? Or I have talents to organize something. Well, then go do it. Or I am supposed to build a beautiful garden. Well, I never saw anybody out there watering with Joe. Come on. We still have things to do. When we work together, when we care for each other, when we hear the strategy, we have to do things ourselves. So, we all have a part to do. We all have to work together. We all have to have one purpose in mind to do what? To rebuild the wall, to rebuild the kingdom, souls for heaven. Our one overriding purpose should be to build the church of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all the nations. I can't remember, Joe, maybe Jermaine's better. I think it was Friday of this week. There were 22 missionaries who were executed. And I cried. 22 people lost their lives for standing up for Jesus Christ. The only thing that I can hold on to is I'm going to see him someday in heaven.
Amen.
22 people, just because they said Jesus. If we don't start fighting for our freedoms, if we don't start standing for truth, if we don't start forgiving other people, if we don't start learning and get on our knees and forget about us, and these little pity things will Bobby hurt my feelings, who cares? Give it to God. Get on our knees, start praying for the United States of America. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. When people in Oregon, which is on the news, literally, this guy was helping a woman that was being attacked. They beat him so bad they never thought he'd walk again. Come on. Fighting doesn't do anything. Prayer does. Working together does. Unity and having strategies from the Lord Jesus Christ. God has assigned each one of us that's even sitting here watching a Facebook podcast, whatever. He has given us all different assignments. We need to do that assignment. You don't have to be like another church, but you need to do what God tells you to do. And not one of us have it all together, because if you do, then you're coming against the Word. The Word says, none of us have it all together. I'd like you to ponder these questions. Are you motivated by the Holy Spirit? Do you want to learn new things? Do you want to rebuild the gates? Do you want to rebuild the gates for the nations? Some of us are called to the nations. Who is your prayer partner? Can I encourage you today? We all have a specific place on the wall. Get with it, get busy, and do what the Lord wants you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Father, I thank you for this, and I thank you that all I saw was names. I thank you, Father, that there's a purpose for your gates and your walls and the positions that we're to do, Lord God. Father, I pray right now that the fire of the Holy Spirit hit the gates of our area, hit the gates of this nation, Lord God, and that, Father, that we will come under your authority, Father. We will follow your ways. We will know what we're to do, and each one of us can get up, get stirred, and get going. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.